From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Sri Raj Patel. Raj, who hails from the United States, was born into a Sai family and so had the greatest fortune of having Bhagwan's darshan when he was just few months old. And having studied in Bhagwan's educational institutions from the primary school to his post-graduation, he is currently the Senior Director of Global Finance, Orange County, California. This talk was delivered in the Torrance Sai Center in California as a part of Bhagwan's 90th birthday celebrations. In this talk, he narrates so many beautiful interactions and experiences with Bhagwan spanning many decades. Interspersed and after the talk, we have some soulful songs sung by the alumni of Swami's University, and at 3:30 p.m, we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jari. And with that, over to Sri Raj Patel.
Om Sri Sai Ram. Bhagwan, I'm most grateful to be able to share the stories of the time you blessed me when I was in your presence in Prashanti Nilayam, Vrindavan, for many, many years. And I pray that everyone here rejoices in your glory and experiences you today, especially your 90th birthday. We pray for your presence to be filled. Swami often said, he often sang, "My life is my message is my life." Very simple, very unique phrase. What I'd like to do today is share some of the stories that imbibe this. And it starts with right within 7 months of when I was born. I had the blessed opportunity of being able to be in Bhagwan's presence within a few months of being born. For many here, you've had the opportunity to know Bhagwan, see Bhagwan, maybe midway through your life, but there are many of us who have been born into being able to experience Bhagwan from when we were little. I was very fortunate to have been born into a Sai family. I often asked my parents, and I saw this, I was foraging through one of my parents' albums one day, and I asked my parents, "What's the story behind this picture? Where was this taken? What happened? What was going on?" And it was on the way to Vrindavan from Prashanti Nilayam. And in those days, the roads were not well paved. They were often dirt roads. And the journey often took 4 to 5 hours in car. And halfway through the journey, Swami would often stop and have a snack, or whoever was allowed to follow Swami at that time in his car, he would often let them have lunch or a snack with him. So this happened to be at the point where Swami had stopped, and he asked everyone to get out and have some snacks, and my mother was holding me. Swami comes over and starts to play with me. My father goes on to tell me that Swami asked him to go have a snack, and then he came over and saw me with my mother and started to play with me. And he waved his finger in front of me. And most parents know that when you start waving your finger in front of children, what do? The first thing they do is they grab onto it. I caught onto Swami's finger. My mother and father tell me that Swami said, "Look, he's holding on to my hand. He's never going to let go." And I heard this story long after I had actually graduated from Swami's institutions. I'd never seen the picture till I had actually come back. I didn't know the story. I didn't know about the picture. My parents had never talked to me about it. But that was just the beginning. And that was the beginning of a journey where from being able to see Bhagwan, interact with Bhagwan from a distance, and from here in, from the US, I was able to make my way into Prashanti Nilayam. My journey began in 1983. Swami had then opened the institute. The primary school had been open for 2 years. And this was during the first year of when I had joined the primary school in my fifth grade. And I'm going to backdate this story a little bit. In 1980, I had the good fortune of being in Vrindavan for an interview. And this seven-year-old was sitting in the back of the interview room, seven-year-old being myself. My parents were in front, and Swami was talking to my parents and my grandparents. And he looks up and asks me, "What do you want?" And I look up at Swami and say, "Swami, I want to join your school." Swami turns to my parents and says, "Did you hear what he said? He wants to join my school." Up until that point, I never knew I wanted to join his school. I actually didn't even know he had a school. All I knew was that my brother was in India at one of Swami's schools, but I just wanted to do whatever my older brother did as a little child. And he turns to my parents and says, "Did you hear what he said? He wants to join my school." He says, No. "I don't want you to join now. Next year I'm opening a school. Why don't you join there?" At that point in time, the primary school was not even built. And he said, "The school is going to be in Prashanti Nilayam." So he said, "You come next year, join the school." Well, everyone living here knows that school here ends in June. And I left after school was over, took the flight, went to India. School in India starts early June, sometimes late May. I missed it. Swami said, "You came late. You should have come early." So I missed the entrance. Happened another year. Was late again. Third year was the best try. Took my tests early and left. And Swami was gracious to admit me into the primary school at that time. Being from here, leaving your parents, leaving your friends, leaving home, joining a boarding school was all a foreign concept to me. Had no idea of what I was getting into. Absolutely no idea. All I knew was, I'm in India, I get to have darshan every day, and I get to see Swami. That's what I thought. Until I went to the joint, started in the primary school. So the first day, first Thursday, at the time the primary school students used to come in a uniform, a light blue shirt, dark blue shorts or a pant, and a red tie. And the new students typically don't have a uniform by that time. We get our uniforms probably a month later. So you could tell who the new students are because they're not in the blue uniform. Swami comes for darshan, and he calls the boys' students onto the portico in the veranda. And at that time, all the boys, the little boys and the girls sit on the lady's side in the mandir, which is, if you're facing the mandir, it's towards the right-hand side. Swami calls us up onto the portico. He's talking to different students. He sees me, asks me to get up, says, "Patel, America, how is the school?" He said, "Swami, it's very nice." "How is the food?" Said, "Swami, good." I sat down. That morning happened to be my first South Indian breakfast, and if you've tasted South Indian food, it's quite spicy. So I wasn't necessarily being honest with Swami on my first time, telling him that the food was fine. It was quite spicy, and it was very hard for me to finish my breakfast. Sunday darshan comes along. Swami gets looks at me, calls me, again asks me the same question. How was breakfast? Said Swami, it was fine. What did you eat? Swami, we had idli. Was this food not spicy? I said, it was spicy. He's like, you will be okay. It'll be okay. Would you like less spicy food? I said, no, Swami, I'll eat whatever is given to me. He's like, very good, sit down. I kind of liked it that every darshan going from primary school, Swami would talk to me. Little did I know that after a month or so, one darshan he didn't talk, two darshans he didn't talk, three darshans he didn't talk, then he'd talk. Oh, okay. He always found a way to recognize you. And he gave you that little attention. Unfortunately, that year, during the birthday time, I happened to get a little bit of pneumonia. And so I was sick. I couldn't attend all the functions, I couldn't attend all the programs, but I was able to sit in the back, and Swami had sent specific instructions through my grandfather saying, tell him not to come. And it was the opposite of what I actually wanted to do. I wanted to be there. It was the holiday time, usually during birthdays and around that time, the primary school students were allowed to go home and be with their parents because it was difficult to be in Prashantinilayam at the time. But since my parents are here, I happened to stay back in Prashantinilayam. And because Swami had sent the message saying that I should not come, and it happened to be cold during that time, which is unusual. Interestingly enough, we hear that it's cold and raining even now, this time during this birthday. But it was cold, and I happened to get pneumonia. And it was the convocation day, and I told my grandfather, I want to go for Swami's darshan. I want to go. I want to sit for darshan. And he said, Swami said you shouldn't come. I said, well, you tell Swami I want to come. And that was me just being an unreasonable child, asking my grandfather, you tell Swami that I'm going to come. Little did I know, on that evening, Swami had called my grandfather into the mandir. And Swami said, okay, he can come for darshan. Tell him to sit on the side in case he needs to go home, he can go home. So I go and sit, and little did I know that I was sitting in the first row in the Purnachandra auditorium, and the procession comes, convocation's finished, go back, and the next morning is birthday morning. And the same thing happens, I get to sit on the side, see the darshan, Swami acknowledges that I'm there somehow on his birthday, made it very exciting for me. And right after birthday, they happen to have a Balvikas rally. And this is people from around the world, all around India. And it was in the Hillview Stadium at the time. And everybody was going to the stadium. It was an all-day rally. Swami was there. And I was telling my grandfather, I want to go. And he said, well, Swami said you should come for the convocation and the birthday program. I said, well, what am I going to do here in the room? All by myself. Nobody's here. There's no bhajan. I said, well, okay, I'll take you. Let's go. I'm not in this frame, but I'm along the back wall. Swami specifically, as he came on stage, he went to my grandfather. My grandfather is seated to the right of Swami with the dark glasses. And he asks him, where's your grandson? He said, Swami, he's sitting down on the side. And I was actually below the stage level. He said, no. Call him onto the stage, tell him to sit so that he can see. He can watch the program. Who am I, a fifth grader, that Swami wanted to give that much attention to for a program? Why would he care where I was seated? I thought about this, and I told my grandfather afterwards, why does Swami care where I sit? He says, this is my grandfather telling me, Raj, the fact that you that Swami took the time and the effort to understand where you are sitting and that you should see the program tells you that Swami is thinking of you. What more can you ask for? Why do you even need to ask a question? Why should you even worry about asking a question? When God takes the time and effort and energy to think of you, you shouldn't have to worry about anything else. Very often during birthday, usually for the convocation or on the day of the birthday, Bhagwan would choose to sit in the jhula or the swing. And it was an opportunity for students to be able to perform. And what was unique about these various opportunities to perform in front of Bhagwan was he had a hand in everything, every aspect of the program. And with those programs, what was fascinating was that he would attend rehearsals, which could start sometimes a month or two before. And with those rehearsals, the students had the unique opportunity of learning from Bhagwan, learning from many, many musicians whom Bhagwan would bring to these rehearsal sessions. And he would teach us in a very, very unique way. Many of you may have heard the term immersion acting or immersion singing, where you actually learn how to become the role, become the person, become the artist, become what it is that you're trying to imbibe. Little did we know that he was instilling this very practice in us to communicate the emotion, to communicate and experience the oneness with the intent of what was being delivered. Bhagwan would attend these various sessions, and the day of the program, he would have this bright smile as though it was the very first time he had seen the program in public. And we would all just be fascinated. Swami, you've heard us sing this song so horribly. We didn't do it well. We weren't performing well. You've heard it through all of that, and you've heard it hundreds of times, hundreds of times. Yet on the final day of the program, he came up to us and he was thrilled with the performance. Regardless of how we felt how it was done, he was happy. And many times we felt, we didn't do it properly, we messed up here or we messed up there, and he didn't care about any of that. All he cared about was the sincerity, the emotion, the prayers that we had behind what it is that was being performed, whether it be a drama, whether it be the song that day. He was happy with it. What was interesting about this whole process was I wasn't a musician. I didn't know how to play an instrument. But what I recognized in 1983 was, who are those people who get to sit in front? They're the musicians. They're the singers. They're the actors. They get to sit in front. That's what I want to do. So I set my mind to, I'm going to pick up something. I'm going to learn how to do it. So I started to pick up tabla. But in my seventh grade, I'm nowhere ready to perform and to play for Bhagwan during bhajans. So in my eighth grade, in 1986, Bhagwan started the journey of fine-tuning my ability to learn an instrument, to begin the process of learning how to sing. And during that time, I also picked up the hobby of taking pictures because I wasn't sure I was actually going to be good at any of the two that I just mentioned, singing or playing tabla. So I thought I need a backup plan because I also noticed people in front were photographers. So I started taking pictures. So in 1986, Bhagwan asked six of us students to get up, and we were standing in random locations all over the portico. And he called us into the interview. It was late July. And he tells us, all of you are going to act in a drama. And what's unique about this drama is it's a dance drama. So you're also going to learn how to dance. And I had two left feet. All of us got very, very nervous because none of us sang, none of us knew how to act. We're all eighth graders. And did I tell you I don't speak Telugu? The drama was in Telugu. I was very nervous. Every day from that day onwards, and it was July, which was unusual, because birthday dramas, the practices usually start early October. So we were many, many months ahead of schedule. But every afternoon, Bhagwan said that we shouldn't come for darshan, we should go to the institute auditorium, and you start practicing. So they started with vocal lessons. So for the first month, we picked up vocals. The next month, we started on the dance. The next month, we started on the songs. And during this time, every afternoon, we missed darshan for quite a number of days. And all of us started to feel sad that we weren't able to go and sit and enjoy darshan like everybody else. But Swami made it a point, every other day or every few days, he would send word from the mandir for us to come to the mandir. And as soon as we would arrive in the back of the portico, he would already be standing on the portico and he would call us straight into the interview room. And he'd ask us, so what did you learn today? And after 5 minutes, he would stop talking about the drama and he would start talking about anything else but what we were supposed to be doing. It would be so-and-so's parents or so-and-so's studies or not studying or not doing well or you didn't do well on a test. And he would go into every little minor thing. And we quickly realized that studies couldn't slip either. Because if it did, we quickly wouldn't be part of the performing group. Slowly but surely, he kept going on and on about various things that we were learning at that time without a hint of anger or insistence that why can't you get it right? No, he kept repeating lovingly, caringly, asking us to sing it again, sing it again, sing it again. And he would tell us, and the drama was about Krishna, it was about Gopikas. And he would describe stories of how the Gopikas had devotion for Krishna in great detail. The reason being was that he wanted us to learn and understand the intent, the intensity of the devotion of Krishna. But that began the journey of perfection. It also began the journey of not necessarily... It began the journey of trust. And the trust in the sense that he can make things happen without you even knowing it. He wants you to understand the innate divinity is clouded by our mind. Before I get to the story of this particular picture, So we finally were getting close to birthday, and Swami decided that we weren't going to perform the drama, which was odd. After 2.5 months of practice, he says, "You're not going, nobody's, there's no drama this year." We loved it because we didn't think we were ready. But we happened to, at that, from that point forward, through whatever programs were there, Swami had asked this small group of students to be part of the musical programs. The rigorous practice of the musical programs had helped. Christmas comes along, and Christmas in Prashantinilayam is a beautiful experience. And we happen to be singing in the soprano group for the carols. And by the time Christmas is over, we had all lost our voices. Swami calls us into the interview room and says, "Are all of you ready to perform on January 3rd? And we look at each other with our hoarse voices and say, "Swami, no, our voices are gone." He asks one of the students to hold his hand up like this. And he just starts moving his fingers. He pulls his sleeve back and starts grinding his fingers. From his fingers, hot bundi, or sweet. And it's used to make laddus. And you have a pile of bundi about this high through the boy's fingers. Swami says, keeps telling him, "Don't drop it." And he tells Swami, "Swami, it's hot. It's very hot." Swami says, "Don't drop it." He starts taking chunks like this and makes laddus for each, for the seven, we were eight of us, six students and then two elders, for eight of us. He made big laddus for each of us. Within 3 days, our voices were fine, and we were ready to go on January 3rd. He just instilled that confidence in us that it would all happen. How our voices got cured in 3 days, who knows. But he found a way to divert our attention from what we were thinking, that our voice is hoarse, we're tired, oh, by the way, we haven't practiced in a month and a half for the drama, how on earth would we be ready on January 3rd? Don't know. It didn't matter. When he said it was going to happen on January 3rd, it happened. Which leads me to this. This incident happened 8 years afterwards. This is in Kodaikanal. And we had finished taking pictures at a house which overlooks the mountains. You can see some of it in the background. And there's about 30 students, about 4 or 5 teachers. And after we had finished taking photographs of Bhagwan, in those days the SLR cameras, the film cameras, if any of you remember that, if they have an automatic rewind, they were very loud and annoying. And we tended to be quiet around Bhagwan. So we had finished taking pictures and my camera started to rewind. So I started to walk away. And I walked towards that little tree which you see the creeper going around. Not much to get behind, but I started walking towards it anyway. By the time I reach it, my camera finishes rewinding, change the film, close it, turn around. Little did I know that Swami was following me, and everybody was quiet. As soon as I turn around, Swami plucks 2 leaves off that creeper, and he says, "What is this?" I said, "Swami, it's a plum." He looks at me and says, "Do plums grow on creepers?" I said, "No, Swami." So he turns around, and I move my way around, and he turns around to everybody and asks everybody, "What is this?" Swami says, he says, "It's plums, what is it?" Someone says cherries, someone says something else. Nothing happens, but then he says, okay, everybody get into the bus. We get into the bus, Swami joins us in the bus, takes these plums, he looks at me, says, plums. He puts it into the mouth of one child, one of the students, and asks him, what is it? Swami, it tastes like chocolate. Puts it into another student's mouth. Swami, it tastes like strawberries. Swami looks at two. One says strawberries, one says chocolate. What is this? Later on, and a teacher next to one of those students says, hey, there's a seed inside. Take it, make sure you don't chew that, eat that. He said, there's no seed. Later on, we asked the two students, and the one who said it was like tasted like strawberries, he said, yeah, it tasted like strawberries. And we asked him, was it a fruit? He said, yeah, it was a fruit. The other one said, no, it was chocolate. What's unique about this particular incident, because there were 30 of us that day, and I've heard a few of my fellow alumni who were there recall this particular incident, each one of us took away a different message. Each of us. I took away that don't let your mind get in the way of experiencing divinity. Don't let your eyes fool you. The two students took away that Swami can really do anything. But again, I've heard it many different ways, from many different perspectives. The uniqueness of Bhagwan is that He's going to give you your own unique experience. And in that unique experience, He's also going to find a way to help you grow as an individual.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
दिलों में आई खुशी की बहार हो
छाई स्वागत हो मेरे साई
साई रे करते तेरा स्वागतम साई रे करते तेरा स्वागतम
में जैसे कृष्ण को पाने ढूंढ रहे तन मन सब त्यागे ये अंगना था सुना साई तेरे आने से पहले ओ आए फिर से इस आंगन में स्वागत हो मेरे साई साई रे स्वागतम साई रे करते तेरा स्वागतम राह निहारे थक गए नैना प्रेम की ज्योत जला
साई रे करते तेरा स्वागतम राह निहारे थक गए
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to Love to Love on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. And we will now continue with the talk by Sri Raj Patel.
So in the introduction, it was said that I had the opportunity to take a lot of pictures. So yes, Swami got me through music, picking up an instrument, learning how to act. He also taught me how to take pictures too. This is another instance in Kodaikanal. We were taking pictures, and if you've had the opportunity to take pictures, even in your family settings, you know, it's one thing to get everybody to look and smile and look in the lens. With Bhagwan, you can't do that. You don't say smile, you don't say here. You don't get that opportunity with him. It's a challenge. Because what you want Swami to do is look in the lens and smile. You cannot ask him to do it. Therein becomes the challenge that you're taking pictures of him, but he's often not looking into the camera. And so very often the pictures don't come out very well. So this one particular day we were taking pictures, and by this time many of us had dropped the fear of asking Swami, Swami, look. It was a small group. I think we got ahead of ourselves. And then he looks at me and he says, you're still not taking good pictures. And I smiled. I didn't think of what was I supposed to do? That was running through my mind. And he waves his hand and he says, let me show you what a good picture is, and let me show you how to take a good picture. And he materializes this brooch. He says, see, this is a good picture. This is how you're supposed to take a good picture. Here, now take one. And he literally held it up like this and asked me to take a picture. Following this day, what I found myself doing was taking far fewer pictures, but having that innate sense and connection with Bhagwan as to when to take a picture. It's hard to describe what that means. up till that point, I used to carry my camera bag all the time. And when I say all the time, every day, morning and evening, whenever we went for darshan, I had my camera with me. There were a few days when I decided, I'm not going to take it. I haven't taken a picture in months. Might as well leave it. Lo and behold, Swami comes out of the interview room. Patel, where's your camera? I'd left it in the hostel. Somebody else had the opportunity to go into the interview room and take a picture. There are many opportunities or many points in time where you were taking pictures and you would get that look from Bhagwan and you'd realize, now is not the time, put it down. This isn't the right time to take a picture. This isn't the right place. There would be other days where he was going somewhere, he'd give you that look and you'd know, get up and get going because he's going to want you to take a picture. He gave you this heart-to-heart connection. And it was one of those connections where when my time as a student was coming close to an end, I had the challenge of reconciling, what would I do? What would I do once I left Prashanthi Nilayam? What would I do once I left his physical presence? The challenge there became, you had the unique experience of being in his presence. Among children, he's a child. Among doctors, he's a doctor. Among teachers, he's a teacher. Among engineers, an engineer. Among politicians, he's a politician. But among children, he's the most mischievous child you can find. So in Kodaikanal, we went to a place called Pillar Rock. You can see there's one, it's a yellow rock right behind the person who's right at the top of that group of students. And we started to take pictures around near this pillar. What you'll find, if you look closely at that picture, you'll see two hands on Swami's shoulder. We are laughing so hard because the person who was about to take this picture flipped backwards and tripped on a tree trunk. Now the poor guy got hurt, but we all just laughed so hard, and Swami was equally laughing as hard as we were. After taking the picture, we all get back in the bus and we started to sing songs, group songs. And one of the songs that we were singing was Jab Koi Baat. And there's a line in that song that says, Mushkil ho jaye. Jab Koi Baat, Mushkil ho jaye. Swami looks at me and he says the line again. And he repeats the line again. And I'm thinking, that's not good. And the next thing we know, the bus driver stops the bus and he tells Swami we have a flat. Swami asks the students who are in the bus, saying, okay, how many of you can get into the cars? Do so, get into the cars. So there were a few cars following the bus. There are five of us who couldn't fit into a car, so we decided, okay, we'll stay in the bus. Swami had gotten into his car and he had gone back to Sai Shruti in Kodaikanal. The five of us were wondering that we're going to miss having lunch with Bhagwan. He's going to go to his room. We're not going to see him the rest of the morning. And who knows when we're going to make it back. So we just keep thinking and we keep thinking, okay, what must Swami be doing right now? Where are they? We reach Sai Shruti. I come out of the bus. I'm the last one to come out of the bus. And I look up at the balcony where it's a small balcony and there's a curtain towards Swami's room. Swami pulls open the curtain, looks at the five of us, and we're all surprised that he's doing this. He says, go eat. Swami had ensured that they left lunch out for us. We have, in the evening, Swami looks up and says, I waited for you. You thought I wouldn't wait. The five of us broke down and we said, Swami, we didn't ask you to wait. He says, you did. The five of you were talking about this in the bus. You thought Swami wouldn't wait for you. Why would he have to wait for us? Why did we matter? He was the ultimate host. He took such good care of his guests. I had the good fortune and blessing to take care of many of Swami's guests during my time as a student. And in that opportunity, he emphasized that it's most important that you revere your guests as God. Atithi Devo Bhava. Treat your guests as you would treat God. He never left anything to doubt. He never assumed. He took every moment to coach all of us in every aspect of our life, whether it be whether we were good at studies, whether we learned how to take photographs. He was teaching us how to live our lives. There were days when we were winding up. This was during my second year MBA. You can tell this is where Swami had already started to sit out front in Prashanti Nilayam. One evening, Swami just, during bhajans, decided that he didn't want to sit in his chair. He just sat down and listened to bhajans right from there. And this was probably the third time I had actually seen Swami sit down on the floor with students. On the floor with us, not in his chair, not even on a stool or a smaller step, not even his footstool. He sat on the floor with us. There was no reason. There was no extra incident behind it, but that it was just, he was literally down to earth. So, this afternoon, when this happened, he had called a few of us into the Purnachandra auditorium where Swami was staying at the time. And he said, he had basically asked us to help clean out one of the rooms in the back. So we spent the afternoon doing that, and it was on a Sunday. So we had spent the afternoon doing that. And we had started right after morning bhajan, and we'd worked our way through lunchtime. Knowing that we had the opportunity of being in Purnachandra in the back where Swami stays, most of us thought, all right, we don't want to leave for lunch. We'll just hang around. Because if we hang around, we can stay here all day. We can potentially stay through the evening. We took the opportunities to stay with Bhagwan as often as we could. And it's one of those things where when you get that chance to be close to him, you want to stay there. So there were seven of us that day. And we just quickly amongst us decided, we're just going to stay here till Swami tells us to leave. Swami comes out around 2 o'clock from upstairs. He came down. And there's a door towards where Swami goes upstairs, and then there's another door to the Purnachandra auditorium. We're outside that door in the Purnachandra auditorium, backstage. Swami opens the door, comes out and says, you haven't left? I said, "No, Swami." "Have you eaten?" "No, Swami." "Sit down." So we all sat down. There's a chair there. Swami sits. He said, "Sit down. All of you sit here." He tells one of the students who's in the back, "Go get those baskets." Out come 7 little baskets like this. And in those baskets are papayas. I hated papayas. I had never liked papayas. Swami looks at me and says, "Don't waste food. Food is God." And I'm looking at Swami saying, in my mind, I'm thinking, "I don't like papayas." He asks the student, "Okay, give them all knives so that they can cut it open." So we cut the papayas and we start eating. And he's sitting there, he's reading letters. He looks up every now and then to make sure we're still eating. I didn't start. He said, "Eat." I start cutting. I start eating. I keep eating. And when I finish, he says, "I know you don't like papayas, but it's good for you." Sometimes we have to do things that are good for us. And it was one of those moments where he's literally teaching me, suck it up. It's good for you. Put your mind aside. Put your taste aside. Put what you think you like or don't like aside. There are things that are good for you that you need to do. So as I'm leaving Prashanthi Nilayam with his command, he tells me, "Go back to the U.S. Start working." And in my mind, I'm wondering, what can I do to continue to experience Bhagwan? Because once you're in that proximity, once you've had that opportunity to experience Him for that long, you start to get what I would... You literally go into withdrawals. Because you miss Him. And to me, it was a struggle as to, how do I experience Swami every day? What can I do? And it's not easy. It really is not easy. But at the same time, it's the effort that counts. Swami often says, work is worship. What does that mean? What does that mean? So having left, there's no opportunity to take pictures. I can't sing bhajans every day at work. Acting doesn't really help. Actually, it does. But he had given me the skills to be able to speak, be effective in making presentations, and it's helped me with things that I never knew that I would put to use in my daily life. But the one thing I missed the most was having that direct connection with Swami, that physical connection with Swami, being able to speak to Him, being able to take His namaskar every day, being able to experience Him. And it was often around birthdays, near the end of when I was there as a student, that at least for the last 4 years of when I was a student, I always had that yearning. I wanted Swami's namaskar on His birthday. I wanted to be able to touch His feet and take His namaskar on His birthday. And so for the last 4 years when I was there as a student, I happened to be in a music program. I happened to be in a drama, and he would call us into the interview room and we would be able to take Padmanabhaskar. He would give us Padmanabhaskar on his birthday. So I finished, I left in 1996, and in 2005, during the 80th birthday celebrations, I was there in the Hillview Stadium at the time and was wondering, how am I going to get close to Bhagwan? I want to be able to have a good darshan and get close to Bhagwan. So out comes my trusty camera. Unfortunately, I'm not a student, so I don't get to sit in front. I'm an alumni, so we were way in the corner, further away. And I thought, What's the worst that could happen? So I just pick up my camera bag and I start walking towards the stage. And around the stage there's a little wall, a semicircle wall. And I decide, I'm just going to sit right here. They didn't let anybody sit because Bhagwan's car was going to pass that way, so they had us all seated on one of the stairs next to the stage. So there's two galleries next to the Shantivedika stage. So I was seated on the men's side. And I thought, okay, as soon as Swami goes up on stage, I'll go plant myself down there and start taking some pictures. Because from the gallery, you can't see the stage, you can't see Swami. So as soon as Swami's up on stage, I make my way down, and one of the sevadals is trying to tell me, hey, you can't sit here, you need to go back. Just have my camera out, I look through the lens, and he's looking right at me, and I realize, I'm in the right spot. Sevadal turns around and walks away as he realized that Swami was watching me and he was fine with me taking pictures. This was the last picture I was able to take because I didn't attend the birthday functions after the 80th birthday in Parthi. But this was literally, for me, the last moment that Bhagwan said, this is the time, take it. And he was fine with it. Typically, sometimes you would know that, no, now's not the right time. This was the right time. He was fine with me taking that picture. I've shared many small stories today. Many of them disconnected, but many of them are. And I'm going to conclude with this one last incident because it culminated during the 85th birthday. So many of you know the alumni music group produces albums every year called A Bridge Across Time. And in 2009, December, we thought, well, why don't we do something unique for Swami's 85th birthday? And we thought, well, what can we do? So we thought, well, why don't we put together an album of songs, not necessarily bhajans. Let's put together an album of songs that Bhagwan used to enjoy or Bhagwan was involved in when we were students. So what we did was we put together an album. So we started this and we thought, okay, that's a good idea. So a month passes. It's February. And we start to put together a list of songs, and then we start to work through, okay, now that we have a list, do we have any pictures related to these songs? So we put together an album related to the songs of picture, lyrics, translation, and the story of when we sang the song. We had a conference call from around the globe, and we thought, well, now what? I said, well, why don't we get together in Prashanthi Nilayam? Why don't we ask Swami for permission to start this album and we want Swami to select the songs. For the next few days, people started to throw around some dates. And I had a weird dream. Swami said, six ke baad acha ho sakta hai. After the sixth, it would be good. That was it. I had no idea what that meant. Absolutely no idea, no reference point, and I was confused. So, a week later, my grandmother says, I'd like to come to the U.S. Can you come and bring me from India? I said, yeah, sure. So I asked her, when would you like to come? She said, after the 6th. 6th of what? She said, 6th of April. I said, okay. It clicked. So now I have my reason to go to India. So I asked the alumni, when would they like to meet? They said, we should do it before the 6th. Now it starts to come together. We all show up in Prashanthi Nilayam on March 31st. And we're all sitting for darshan along the side. And we have an album. And we share it with Swami. And he starts flipping through page by page, every single song. And we send the album in after bhajan. And Satyajit comes out and he says, Swami has said, you can start. The next morning we were all there, seated for darshan. And by this time, sometimes Swami would come out in the morning, sometimes he wouldn't come out in the morning for darshan. This morning, Satyajit comes out and he says, Raj, Swami asked all of you to go sit on the portico. He's coming out specially for you, for all of you boys. So we all went and sat on the veranda. Swami comes out. He looks into each of our eyes and says, yes, start, start, start the project. Start. So beginning in April, we start the project. By the time it comes around, we are down to about October. The songs are done, completed, and we decide that we're going to get the album mastered here in the U.S. We get the album mastered, and it's about the day after Akhand Bhajan. We finish getting it, it's all done. I have the masters with me, and I get word that Swami said, have all the music boys who are working on the album, have them come back, come to Prashanthi Nilayam. So we had CDs of all the songs ready for whoever was singing the song. We played the song, Swami listened to a few lines, it's nice, went to the next person, nice, went to the next person. I had missed that opportunity because I was here and there was no way I could fly overnight to India and make it for the event. So I felt I missed the opportunity. It was the evening of the program in Prashanthi Nilayam on birthday, and what our alumni had done was they had taken the album and taken a box with all the with the final production of the CDs and sat in the portico with all the cake, with all the different groups having cakes. Swami came, blessed the box, ran his fingers through all the CDs. The students had sent me one of those CDs. I definitely felt that I truly missed that opportunity. But the songs really stuck with me. That they were emotional songs, they were songs that really made Swami happy. And later we found, Satyajit often told us, he said, Swami listens to this, to the music that you boys produced almost every day. Morning and evening, it's playing in his room. He listens to this music. So around January 3rd comes along, January, so if you didn't know, the alumni get together around New Year for our, that's when we just get alumni meet in Prashanthi Nilayam. And that year, Bhagawan had gone through every single row of students in Purnachandra Auditorium. The music group was sat in a small group to the side, and he skipped us, all of us. All of us felt we missed an opportunity. And many of us felt, you know, we've come this far and it's so rare for Bhagawan to get that proximity at that time, because we remembered the many good old days where we could easily approach Bhagawan, we could talk to him, we could give him a letter, we could ask him questions. Those days had slipped. And when we do get that opportunity to get that proximity, we wanted, we truly cherished it. Many of us were really sad. So the program ended. It was January 2nd. And we thought, oh well, it wasn't for us. It wasn't our time. It wasn't for us. So on the 3rd, most of the students had already left. Some of us were still, those from abroad or those who had to go a far distance, we were still there. Around 2 o'clock, we had gathered in the mandir, we were seated there near the garage, and Satyajit comes out from Yajur Mandir looking for me. He says, Raj, Swami sent word that you need to call and get all the bhajan boys and the music boys into the bhajan hall. Swami is going to come out early. And you all need to be seated there. And I tell Satyajit, all the boys have left. What do you want me to do? There's probably 40, 50 of us. And they're not music boys. He's like, doesn't matter. Just whoever is here, all of you go into the bhajan hall. So we go, we sit. Swami comes out at 3 in the afternoon, which no one is settled in the mandir. Everybody's still going around, and Swami comes out early, comes into the bhajan hall. What was unique about this day was, as soon as he comes into the bhajan hall, he starts going through the lines. And he starts giving each one of us, giving the students vibhuti packets. One, each and everyone, looking into their eyes, vibhuti packet in their hand. Look into their eyes, vibhuti packet into their hands. Finishes going through the lines, and he's very happy. And it was, we didn't realize it, but we realize it now. That was our last interaction with him. Whatever needed to be said was said. Whatever eye contact needed to be made was made. Whatever blessing needed to happen was done. He blessed us with memories. He gave us this opportunity in a lifetime to build and cherish these memories, because those memories is all we have. And we can cherish those memories on days like today, where it is his birthday, and we get the opportunity to spend a day together thinking about him, remembering his stories, and remembering those instances that he inspired us. He taught us something new. He taught us how to do something better. He taught us how to be better human beings. He taught us how to be better parents. He taught us how to be better children. And most of all, He gives us this opportunity every year on the same day to remember his birthday. Because what he said was, it's his birthday the day you install him in your heart. The day we have him in our hearts is what he said is his birthday. So I'd like to conclude with this one final song. And it was composed with at the time of the 60th birthday. But before I go into that, I wanted to read a quote from Bhagwan. When you said yes to me, you gave up the right to be like everyone else. That is why you draw experiences to yourself that will cleanse yourself of that which does not fit who you are. Over and over again and again, until I make you see that the past no longer works. I challenge you and tempt you every day with your past, so that you may see the past is the ultimate delusion. When you said yes to me, you gave me your body, your thoughts, and your actions. When they don't suit you, the new you, the uncomfortableness is unbearable. It will be so every time. And when you realize this fully, then and only then will you completely give up desire. For this is the only way man will learn. Very seldom does he learn by quiet reminders. Man's desires and pitfalls are placed there so that they may do my work. When you give up totally, then the temptations will fade. I will never give up on you. Every slip will become harder and harder to bear and less easy to remedy. You will tire of your foolishness because I love you, and though not completely aware of it, you did say yes. Sairam.
Man mero lage na tere bina sai. मन मेरो लागे ना तेरे बिना साई दर्शन की प्यासे अखिया तेरे दर्शन की प्यासी जीवन ज्योत जलाओ साई मेरे
जीवन ज्योत जलाओ साई मेरे
मन मेरो लागे ना तेरे बिना छवि अति सुंदर केश ये है घुंघराले निराले
तेरी छवि अति सुंदर केश ये है घुंघराले निराले
नयन कमल मन मोहक मादक रंजित है अधरारे
तेरी छवि अति सुंदर केश ये है घुंघराले निराले
इस छवि को हम मन में भर कर तेरे गुण को गाए
तेरे गुण को गाए
मन मेरो लागे ना तेरे बिना रे
मन मेरो लागे ना तेरे बिना
तेरे बिना जग माया काए बंधन टूट न पाए
तेरे बिना जग माया काए
बंधन टूट न पाए
जीवन नैया पग पग डोले जीवन मिया पग पग डोले
तू ही पार लगाए
तेरी शरण में ले के प्रभु तू कृपा शांति बरसाए
कृपा शांति बरसाए
मन मेरो लागे ना तेरे बिना रे
मन मेरो लागे ना तेरे बिना रे
तेरे दर्शन की प्यासी अखियां तेरे दर्शन की प्यासी जीवन ज्योत जलाओ साईं मेरे
जीवन ज्योत जलाओ साईं मेरे
मन मेरो लागे ना तेरे बिना चाहता है ये दिन बार बार आए दिल चाहता है ये दिन बार बार आए
हमारे साईं से जो हमको फिर यूं ही मिलाए
हमारे साईं से जो हमको फिर यूं ही मिलाए
दिल चाहता है ये दिन बार बार आए दिल चाहता है ये दिन बार
भाव आज तेरे प्यार को पाया है
जिंदगी भर रहे तेरे संग एक यही अभिलाषा है तोड़ के बंधन जात पात के ईर्ष्या और भेदभाव के
आओ हम सब एक स्वर में गाएं गीत प्यार से
दिल चाहता है ये दिन बार बार आए दिल चाहता है ये दिन हमारे साईं से जो हमको फिर यूं ही मिलाए हमारे साईं से जो हमको फिर यूं ही मिलाए दिल चाहता है ये दिन बार बार आए दिल चाहता है ये दिन बार बार आए
अब साई को अपना लो और जीवन सफल बना लो।
घर के हाथ में हाथ उसके एक नया कदम बढ़ा लो,
एक नया कदम बढ़ा लो, एक नया कदम बढ़ा लो।
एक नवयुग देखो फिर से अब आ ही गया, एक नवयुग देखो फिर से अब आ ही गया।
जहाँ साई नाम सारा संसार गा रहा,
जहाँ साई नाम सारा संसार गा रहा।
दिल चाहता है ये दिन बार बार आए, दिल चाहता है ये दिन बार बार आए।
हमारे साई से जो हमको फिर यूं ही मिलाए,
हमारे साई से जो हमको फिर यूं ही मिलाए।
दिल चाहता है ये दिन बार बार आए।
इस बेचैन दुनिया को देख ना रहा मेरे गम का ठिकाना, कि लोगों ने अब तक ये न जाना साई नाम है अनमोल खजाना।
जब प्राण तन से जाएंगे छूट,
मेरे साईं बाबा तेरा हम नाम लेंगे, तुझे है कसम हमारी तेरे लिए जान देंगे।
साईं नाम सारा जग देखो गुनगुनाएगा,
मेरे साईं बाबा तेरा हम नाम लेंगे तेरे लिए जान देंगे। किसाई नाम सारा जग देखो गुनगुनाएगा, मेरे साईं बाबा तेरा हम नाम लेंगे तेरे लिए जान देंगे। मेरे साईं बाबा
झील से तेरी अखियां प्यार भरा तेरा चेहरा तेरी मुस्कान से साई चेहरों पे रौनक आई
तेरी एक नजर से साई दिलों में खुशी समाई
दिलों में खुशी समाई दिलों में खुशी समाई
तेरे इस रूप को देख करो बाबा मेरे हर एक इंसान तुझ पर आज कुर्बान होगा तेरे इस रूप को देख करो साई मेरे
तुम्हारी हंसी है प्यारी अमानत बने हमारी महकूत जिंदगानी
तुम्हारी हंसी है प्यारी अमानत बने हमारी
तुम्हारी हंसी है प्यारी अमानत बने हमारी
कभी ना झूठे दास्ताने मोहब्बत की मेरे साई बाबा तेरा हम नाम रहेंगे तेरे लिए जान देंगे मेरे साई बाबा।